It's good to be with you again today. And yesterday I introduced this new series of teaching, God is Our Rest. I acknowledged a reality in many of our lives. We're tired. We are desperately seeking a good long rest. But that seems impossible in the hectic, busy world in which we live and work and engage with our families. All the technology, all the toil, time spent working, and the weight of what's growing on our family trees is getting to us and robbing us of an abundant life. And today we come to the Bible and ask, what does Jesus have to say to us? Remember, this summer we're learning who God is from the life of Christ. Since Jesus is God, he has a lot to teach us about who God is. And these days together are dedicated to understanding that God is our rest. And as we continue today, I want to say that there are a couple of ways that we can talk about the rest that God provides to us. When Jesus speaks of rest, you might be tempted to think that he means something like getting more sleep, spending time doing nothing, relaxing more, or you might want to spiritualize your opinion a bit. Jesus must be talking about praying quietly, attending a spiritual retreat, or joining that church camp in the woods later this summer. And soon enough, we'll come to the interaction between Jesus and his first disciples that teaches us about this kind of rest amidst the busy hustle and bustle of daily life. But that is not where Jesus starts. What Jesus does is to speak of a more important and meaningful kind of rest, and that is a rest for your soul. We can and we will talk about physical and mental rest. That's important, but that is not the most important. It is essential that we start where Jesus starts, and he begins with finding eternal rest in God such that our lives are forever positively transformed. We're going to be coming into the Gospel of Matthew in the words of Jesus, but as we get there, I want to introduce Jesus' words by talking with you about the way that God has designed each of us. And here's my main point. God has designed us to be spiritual beings. Think of the hub and spokes on a tire. It's summertime now, so where I go for my morning coffee, there are lots of bicyclists riding, often in teams, but sometimes solo. And when the ride is over, they come into town and park their bicycles. And some of these bikes are really fancy. Well, imagine that you're having coffee together with me, which would be fun to do. And we bent down and took a good look at the wheels on one of those bikes. What we'd see is a hub in the center and then spokes going out in every direction from the center of the wheel. The core of the wheel is the hub, and the wires that go from there to the actual part of the wheel before the rubber are spokes. The hub and the spokes go together to make the wheels turn. The analogy I want to make to men and women is this. In our inner person, in the hub of who God made us to be, we are spiritual beings. And then the spokes that in the analogy go out from the core are the other elements of our being. For example, what is mental, what is emotional, what is physical. All of this together makes up our whole person. That's how people run. The human person has to be dealt with holistically. And the Bible addresses everywhere the whole person. As I said, we will come to mental, emotional, and physical tiredness later in this series. But what the Bible elevates over the mental, emotional, and physical is the spiritual. God prioritizes spiritual health. The hub of the bicycle tire is more important than the spokes of the tire. In fact, you cannot have a tire without a hub. And without a healthy hub, the spokes are just weak wires laying on the ground someplace. A bicycle is completely useless without a strong, well-working hub on the wheels. Likewise, until we address the core of our being, our spiritual health, it's useless to try and address mental, emotional, and physical health. And yet that is exactly what most people try to do, even believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe this is what you are trying to do. For too many people to count, the source of our exhaustion is in the hub of life, spiritual fatigue. But what folks do is to spend a lot of money and time and effort in addressing the spokes of their inner being, treating tiredness in the mind, the heart, the emotions, and the physical body. Actually, the physical body probably gets the most attention. I wouldn't be tired if I could just get more sleep. I wouldn't feel so awful if I just changed my diet. Exercise. If I got the endorphins pumping, that would wake me up. Hundreds of millions of dollars, billions globally, are spent every year as people try to address sources of weariness related to mental, emotional, and physical drain. Vitamins, drugs, gym memberships, health foods, visits to the doctor and the psychologist, and I could go on and on. But all the while, people ignore the real problem, the deeper issue that explains our tiredness, our spiritual health. It is true that we must be attentive to mental, emotional, and physical health. Absolutely. God wants to give us tender care in our whole persons. Getting more sleep, having a healthy diet, drinking gallons of water, and moving, exercising that body of yours are all essential in not feeling so exhausted all the time. Yes, I believe this. But you and I can do all of that and still not find rest. Why? We cannot find rest until we find our rest in God. And God is inviting us to spend serious time in the hub of our inner being addressing spiritual health. And He promises to meet us there, and God promises to be our healer and to make us well. Once He heals our souls, then we'll be rested. And you might object, that's not true. I am a Christian, but I still struggle with mental, emotional, and physical unrest. Well, let me ask you this. How attentive have you been to the hub, the center of your life? How attentive have you been to your soul? There are some scriptures that I want to put on your mind today that speak of us as spiritual beings. God has made us for Himself, and it's in our spirit or in our souls that we recognize our Maker. According to the Old Testament and the Psalmist, God put us all together a certain way. He says this of God in Psalm 139 and verse 13, "For you formed my inward parts." That's Psalm 139, verse 13. "For you formed my inward parts." God did not only design our outer parts, He also intimately wove together our inner man and our inner woman. And what is that inner part? It's our souls. We cannot see it. A doctor probing around in our bodies cannot feel it. But every person ever made has a soul, and that soul was designed to be attentive, very attentive, singular in its attentiveness to God. Listen to the beautiful way Solomon puts this in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11. This is the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11. God has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart. I love this. What does Solomon mean by it? He means that we are made for God. We are all made for God. Eternity is in our being. We are not made for this life only. We are made for eternal and everlasting life. We are made for life in heaven with God our Maker, after life here on earth, developing, nurturing, and caring for the relationship with God our Maker. We have to pay special and careful attention to our souls. The soul cannot be ignored. God cannot be ignored. God cannot be fought. God cannot be repelled. God cannot be denied. If you think you can run and hide from God or stand up and fight Him, you're going to find that you have no peace. You have no comfort. You have no strength. You have no rest. But the people of our communities, this is exactly what they do. They resist God and fight against God. It's all out war against God. This is what the prophet Jeremiah cried about. Wicked leaders amongst the prophets and priests in ancient Israel had a false sense of peace. They were lulled to sleep. But judgment loomed because the sinning soul had not been dealt with. Jeremiah 6 and verse 14 says, "Peace, peace, but there is no peace." I'm afraid that is the state of so many people I talk with. They say, peace, peace, but there is no peace. They think they're going to be at peace ignoring and or fighting God. They might even say, I have peace, but they will never have inner peace as long as they deny that they have eternity in their hearts, and therefore they must encounter the Creator and living God. Now, you might ask, how can a person do that? How can a person be attentive to their soul? How do we stop resisting God and fighting God? And how do we have peace? I'm glad you asked, because this is exactly what Jesus will address tomorrow. Jesus is going to tell us about spiritual rest, because that is the most important kind of rest that we all require. Our souls need to be at rest, and Jesus can and will put them at rest if we will throw ourselves on Him and depend on His grace and mercy to speak into our inner being, the inward part, the soul. In John's Gospel in chapter 7, Jesus declared something extraordinary about our spiritual being. He quotes from Isaiah and says this in John 7 and verse 38. "He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." Now that's a beautiful picture. Just reading that makes me restful. For those of us who believe in Jesus, we know that only our faith in Him, only the presence of the Holy Spirit in our souls, has transformed our innermost being into something like a river, fresh, clear, effervescent water that comes pouring out of us. The world around us can be like a war zone. We might even have mental, emotional, and physical limitations and problems, but on the inside, deep down where it really matters, in our spirits, in our souls, in our spiritual lives, there flows a river of living water. Ah, the assurance of the soul at rest. There's nothing better. Well, I want to encourage you to be here again tomorrow, and you'll be greatly helped if you'll read Matthew chapter 11 and verses 25 through 30 before then. That's Matthew 11, verses 25 through 30. When you do, you'll read Jesus' invitation to come to Him for rest, and we'll spend a good portion of time understanding exactly what He means by what He says. Join me tomorrow, for God is...